Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast. As you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Here we go again. The early hours of Saturday morning here, Friday night into Saturday morning, and we are back. And once again, it's been, this will be three proper full-length podcasts with interviews in, 5 or 6 days, which is mental. But yeah, we just got to keep them tracking. We just got to keep them coming out because there's so much going on. And today is a bit of a bumper roundup episode of other stuff I've done recently, which I probably, to be honest, in recent years, I probably would have passed out over kind of 2 or 3 episodes and that's a month's worth. And today we're shoving them all out in the same one just because there's so much going on in the world of Oasis. We're less than a week away now. And a couple of bits. The Oasis Twitter page uploaded a really good little 30-second video, just sort of showing the stage getting ready. You know, the stadium all getting sorted and just stuff happening. You're thinking, whoa, that's real. Okay, that's a bit real now. So that was really cool. Be great to get more stuff like that over the next sort of week, you know, just to keep us excited, keep us engaged. Hopefully they will, you know, because that's sort of the point. And then also Noel did an interview on TalkSport not this morning because it's now Saturday, but on Friday morning, yesterday morning. And he was on with Jason Cundy and Jamie O'Hara. And mainly sort of just this silliness. I mean, he was on with them a few weeks ago and it was are they going to get Jamie O'Hara? Is he going to get a ticket or not? And so they're carrying on this sort of game. But there was a couple of very exciting moments. I mean, first, generally, he was doing this fake quiz thing. Oh, and just by the way, I literally just recorded the Britpop show Oasis quiz. It literally came out the day before. And one of the questions on that was, what's Noel's shoe size? And then on this weird Britpop quiz, this Oasis quiz thing on TalkSport, one of the questions is, what's the average shoe size of the members of Oasis? You're thinking, that sounds familiar. I mean, I think it's a coincidence. I don't think that that's, either Noel or whoever the researcher is at TalkSport has happened to have heard our episode. It's just a funny coincidence, isn't it? But yeah, anyway, so that TalkSport interview had a couple of moments of where, that's a technical term, where he mentioned I'll go and text our kid, or I'm just texting our kid about that, you know, and just him talking about Boned and Gwigs and Tony, I just think it's great. You know, it's just great to hear him talking about that in that way and it not be tinged with that awkwardness of like, yeah, well, he doesn't like them or he doesn't like talking about them or, you know, is this just going to then become like an awkward, like, oh, you're going to get Oasis put together, like, conference, which is basically every time he's talked about Oasis in the last 15 years has been. Whereas now, actually, it's like, well, no, it's they are going to be playing together, like, in a few days. And he's talking about Bonehead, and it's like, he's been rehearsing with Bonehead this last few weeks. So, anyway, let's have a clip of that.
I tell you what, Condi, you're unbelievable. Can you play tambourine? Because you might... You know what? There's always been room for a tambourine player in the band. I'm going to text our kid on the other line here now, but Jay, I was just texting her. But you, Condi... Unbelievable! Oh, Scarlett, there. I'm not sure you're even.
I'm not getting tickets, am I? I'm not getting tickets.
I'm not sure you're going to even see it on video. In a couple of years.
No. Earlier in the show, I don't know if you heard this. O'Hara. I asked O'Hara, who's his favourite, Noel or Liam? This is what he said. Oh, I don't think he likes you. That's my own take on it, mate. I think he listens to the show, and he's listened to O'Hara. And he's like, O'Hara, I don't want O'Hara at my concert.
I love Oasis as well.
You do love Oasis.
It's a wounder. It's
like, who's your favourite? Noel or Liam? Who's your favourite?
Liam now.
Well, I've just texted Liam. Yeah, I was just like, Jamie O'Hara wants tickets for Wembley. And he's just said, who's Jamie O'Hara?
Oh, this is a massive stitch up here, boys.
And I've got one last question.
Oh, here we go.
Who are you?
No, I've got to ask you, mate. I've got to ask you. 1 week to go. It's the biggest thing that everyone's talking about. How's the preparations?
Yeah. We finished rehearsing Tuesday. And we're off. Yeah, we've got a few days off now, and it's sounding huge. So this is it. There's no going back now.
No.
So it's good.
All right, there we go. Let's just cover off what we're doing today. Then that would be worth talking about. So today we've got three interviews. Effectively, I was up in Manchester last weekend. So what's that? The 21st and. On the Saturday, I called in to see Brian Cannon. So I had a lovely chat with Brian Cannon. He happened to be in Microdot. He's normally not there. He's normally up in the Kendall head office, but he just so happened to be there on that day. So I had a good little chat with Brian. I also went over to the new pop-up shop. I didn't do any sort of interviews or anything there, but, you know, that was interesting to see. And then I also called into Definitely Maybe Bar. And I chatted to Paul Gallagher in there. I have to say every single time, no, not Liam and Noel's brother. This is a very different Paul Gallagher from Bolton. But yeah, really good chat with Paul. So yeah, I'll drop that in here as well. And then also Thursday, I had a really fun chat with Johnny from Wonderwall Beer. So we saw this like beer in Aldi called Wonderwall and thought, oh, that's a cheap cash in by Aldi, and then got in touch with the guy, and it's like, no, it's he's a one-man band. He's created this beer and he's happened to get Aldi to stock it. So you think, oh well, fair enough, well, let's have a chat with him then. And very kindly he sent me some beers, so, and I've had some today. And they're very, very nice. Really nice, crisp, refreshing lager, 4%. So you're not going to get absolutely blitzed on it. And yeah, it's just a really nice, solid lager. So very happy with that. And what I'm going to be doing is bringing them along on the 4th and the 5th. Well, although I imagine they'll be drunk by the 4th. So I'm going to be bringing it over, whatever's left between now and the 4th. And what I've said is that anyone that, you know, if you find me, you see me in my Oasis podcast flag as I'm out and about in Cardiff in the daytime, come and say hello, come and record with the podcast, and the first come, first served, have an Oasis podcast badge and a Wonderwall Lager on me. But there you go. And we got a quiz about Wonderwall Lager as well. You can win a case of Wonderwall Lager. That will come up in the interview with him. All right. Without any further Freddy ado, let's cross over to me and Brian Cannon.
Hello, You always say what publicly, sir?
Nothing.
All right, welcome back to the Oasis podcast. Now, first time in person.
Yes,
I can
indeed.
Actually touch you, but I'm not going to. But
no, we have shook hands.
Yeah. Brian Cannon, how you doing, man?
I'm very well indeed. How are you?
I'm loving it. So we're here in the Microdot shop,
indeed,
which is absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're not normally here, are you? You're normally...
I'm very rarely here. I'm normally Kendall HQ up in the Lake District area, up in Cumbria. But I've come down to drop off some bits and bobs because we're obviously going to get very, very busy.
Do you think so?
Yes. I should imagine we will be, yes.
Yeah, and yes, it's a nice idea, the pop-up shop down the road. That's a nice idea, isn't it?
Well, you know, do you know what? I think I can't think of any other band that's ever done it.
No?
To that extent, I mean, you know, you'd expect obviously merchandise to be sold at stadiums for gigs and what have you. But I can't think of it, can you?
No, well, they've done it. I know, what's his name? Tyler, the Creator, recently they did pop-up stores, but it's literally near Wembley, like a small little booth almost.
Yeah.
Not like two floors in four different cities.
For a month.
Unbelievable. Yeah, there's nothing been like that.
There's nothing like Oasis, isn't it? So, you know,
no.
It's understandable.
Yeah. But, like, you know, this is the thing. I've said this for years. Part of the reason why I started the pod 8 years ago was, and especially for Manchester as well, it's like, you know, you look at Liverpool and they tapped into the Beatles, right?
Took a while, though.
Yeah.
You know, I got into the Beatles in the 80s. And there was nothing. I mean, literally nothing.
Yeah.
It was the scandal, really. And I think it's a much more recent thing that has happened. So, but there's nothing in Manchester Oasis-wise, other than us. And we're not specifically an Oasis shop.
No.
So, I think it's unusual that they should start the first one in Manchester and not Cardiff, because that's the first gig, I suppose. But I don't know what the venue is in Cardiff or anything for the pop-up shop. But, yeah, it is a spectacular site they've got in.
Yeah, but anyway, how you been feeling? How you feeling about the reunion?
Well, you know, I didn't know it was happening, despite what everybody thought. I was as surprised as anybody else. And when, because I obviously packaged Definitely Maybe again last year, and I was with Noel in his studio, and the question obviously arose about reunion, and his response was, "I'm fucking sick of it." It was his exact words. So when Steve here said to me, it was 2 days before the announcements would have been early August.
All right.
It would have been early, back end of August last year. And he said to me, "Brian, have you heard? Oasis are going to announce a reunion on Tuesday." And my response were, "Are they fucked? If Oasis announce a reunion on Tuesday, I will run the length of Deansgate naked." That's the street there. Clearly, nobody wants to see that, and I haven't done it. But,
come on.
But Noel told me that only right up to the end, only eight people knew about it.
Is that right? Eight people?
Not even his daughter. I mean, he said to me, Anais rang him. She was at that, was it the Blossoms gig?
And it popped up on the thing.
And so she says to him, Dad, what's this announcement? And he said to her, "Are you sitting down?" And she went, "Yeah." He goes, "Me and your mum are getting back together."
And your mum.
So even she didn't know about it. So, it took me by surprise, and obviously we had other things planned for this year, but they've all been put on the back burner
because
I've been working on a couple of projects which I'm not at liberty to talk about yet, but you'll hear about them very soon, I guess.
Yeah, but that's the thing, like with something this huge, because this is like to the level of like affecting like the UK economy, right?
Yeah.
This isn't just like a series of gigs. This is like as big as a trade deal with a country.
There's been nothing like it ever. You know, in the history of rock and roll, the closest you could have imagined it would have been the Beatles never got back together. So there is no comparison.
No.
Stone Roses, obviously, was a big deal, but they're not... I mean, I'm a massive Roses fan, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's not the phenomenon that Oasis were
or
are, you know. Yeah. So it's unprecedented, truly unprecedented. I mean, that word gets bandied about an awful lot, but this is unprecedented.
Yeah. No, it's never been anything like it.
No.
And what do you think about the whole, the Adidas tie-in as well? Like, I think that was a really powerful trailer I saw the other day.
Yeah, I mean, again, an obvious collab, the most obvious collab, and they've done it very tastefully, I think, using the logo that I designed and the original Adidas, Originals logo, which, if you think about it, The original Oasis logo almost ended up using that Adidas font.
Famously,
but we changed it because it looked like Oasis from a distance. So it's been a tie-in from day one. You know,
Well, the lads always wore it, didn't they? All back in the day.
Well, that was kind of the point, you know. So,
I love it. And so you got to see them. You're there on Cardiff first night, aren't you?
I'm going to go to Cardiff for the first night.
Wembley first night and Chicago, which is first night in USA. So the three, at the moment, who knows what else is going to happen? Yeah, I would like to go to Buenos Aires. Actually, that's if I could pick. If I could only go to one, that would have been it. But and there's talk of going to Korea as well because I'm doing some work with a Korean firm, so I might be in Korea as well. But that's the three for definite.
TBC. Yeah. Oh, fair enough. And so you did the Definitely Maybe package like we talked about. I've not talked about that. So how was the experience of that? Was it great to be?
That was great, actually. That was fantastic because we went back to the studios where the record was recorded with Noel as well. Mm-hmm. He came with us and. Yeah, it's quite surreal, really. You know, stood in Sawmills, which is a tiny room, you know, twice the size of this room here. Great, thanks. With Noel Gallagher talking about it, and him relaying his experience of recording the record. It was amazing.
Yeah, incredible. And so, you know, so you'll be doing the sleeve design for the reunion comeback album.
If there is one, I haven't heard about it yet.
Almost got you.
I don't think there is going to be it. But you know, the way they keep these tight lips about it, who knows? But I think Alec McKinley came out publicly and said there isn't going to be any new music, didn't he? So I'd be surprised if there was.
Fair enough. Brilliant. All right, well, great to talk. Yeah, yeah.
We are here at the Microdot shop on King Street, which will be open and... Although I'm not here very often, I will be here the day before and the day of all the gigs in Manchester.
Great. Okay.
So hope to see you soon.
Yeah, yeah.
So there we go. Thank you very much to Brian. It was lovely to meet him in person for the first time. And I did sort of talk to him off the record for a bit as well, which was good. But there's nothing too exciting to report there. Nothing I can tell you about anyway. But all good. And if you are going to the pop-up store in Manchester, then just go and see Microdot because, like, you know, Microdot is far more interesting for me personally than the pop-up shop. You can actually see interesting things on the wall. You know, it's more of like a boutique art, you know, and this actual interesting things, you know, like you've got the little pin badge set and things like that. There's actual like interesting cool items, whereas I think that the pop-up shop is just very like corporate, like just t-shirts, bottles and stuff, and it's, you know, it's fine for what it is, but given the choice, I don't need to go to that pop-up shop again, whereas I would happily spend ages browsing Microdot. But there you go, that's just me. All right, now let's cross over to my chat with Paul Gallagher, not that one, over at Definitely Maybe Bar.
All right, so I'm here at the fantastic Definitely Maybe Bar in Manchester with Paul Gallagher, but not that one, the other one. How you doing, Paul? You all right?
A cheery one.
Yeah, exactly. The one that's not a mard. Oh, dear. He's all right, Paul. Do you know Paul, actually? Do you know him?
I don't know. I actually messaged him on Instagram the other day and he's not got back to me, so
yeah, that doesn't,
I don't know, but I've heard some good stories about his DJing.
Yeah, 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 he knows.
In fact, I have met him actually. I met him at an after party in I think it was Dublin.
Oh yeah,
I think he was with Bornhead at the time. Met them both at the same time. I think I was a bit drunk and I said something like, I've got Paul Gallagher as well. He was like, sorry, mate, now as well.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, all right, now leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've had it over the years that there's been various bits where, like, because he's on Instagram and he replies to messages on Instagram. And so, but it's been things over the years where I've sort of said, oh, Paul, you know, oh, I think I could get an interview. Like, do you think you can? And he's just gone like, it's not happening. Forget it. It's like,
I think you have to be like that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially,
I think if you're like, um and ah about everything and people will just jump all over you.
Exactly.
You have to be like that.
Just be cutthroat.
And cutthroat, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, anyway. But yeah, but how's it going, man? It's sort of, it's been, how long have you been open for? Just, what, 6 months, a year, yeah?
Yeah, we opened, I think it was 1st of December 2024, obviously, it's last year. And we kind of rushed open to get that Christmas trading. And it worked, to be honest. It was good for us. And then, we kind of expected to be really quiet January, February, March, but we weren't. We were all right. I think we still had a lot of people who had that like, kind of inquisitive vibe. They wanted to pop their heads in, and we changed a lot of things. It gives us a bit of time to change things and tweak and get things right for the summer.
Yeah.
And I think we're very close now. We've put a lot of things right that we got wrong originally. It is a bit of a like trial and error gaff.
Yeah.
And we're trying to work out what works. Mm. Being underground in Manchester as its drawbacks, you know, and you're just trying to get everything right before things go wrong.
Yeah, Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I remember I came here very early. I was chatting to your daughter, wasn't I?
Yeah, sure.
And it's over there. And yeah, and like even like the merch area wasn't finished yet and things like that. But you just but yeah, obviously you've got all the stuff. It's so great and kitted out with all of the.
I think so. I think like if you're a fan of Oasis, I think there's something for everyone that you've not seen before.
Yeah.
You know, I hear it when people say like, "Oh, I've seen it all before," like blah blah blah. You've not.
No.
And, like, there's plenty to read. There's plenty to look at. And. And yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great. Like, I spend loads of time in here, and I never get bored of it.
No.
So I'm all right.
No.
And I think the best thing about it is it's so central, and the tourists. It's so easy for the tourists to find. So that like, we get people from all over the place. I don't know, you can see the map from here.
And
it's just the passion for Oasis is unbelievable. I had a couple from California in last week crying on me.
Crying
on me, and I was like, "What are you crying at?"
What was the beer that bad?
I was like, "What's all the toilet stinkers?" And they were like, "This is our Graceland." I was like, "Get over yourselves." I love it. I love the passion for Oasis. I look like the Mexicans, the Argentinians, like the South Americans especially.
They
absolutely love it, and they know every word of every song, and like. It's mad that like songs that mean so much to me mean something exactly the same to them.
Yeah.
Like in a different language at the other side of the world, and like the passion for it is incredible, and I love it. I live for it. Like it's great.
Yeah. I mean, what about you growing up? So are you from Manchester? Are you Bolton?
No, I'm Bolton, born and bred. They both Bolton. Are. I was a huge Oasis fan. I was at Main Road, and that was my first taste. That was my first gig ever.
What,
at
Main Road?
Yeah, I was 96. Like 15, I think at the time, and. And yeah, I went there in my dad's jacket and got in the front pen. I was in the front pen at Main Road and loved it. I remember Liam doing a little. If you watch the video, he crouches down and he does a little like.
Oh, finger guns.
Yeah. And he was doing that to me. I'm telling you now.
I was
the loudest guy there going. Yeah, but he's like that to me. And I was like hooked from that day on. I was like hooked on Oasis, and like in the 90s, I would listen to no fucking singing in the shower or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember Napster. It was all on Napster, trying to find these rare bits of Oasis. Like, and it was like, and then you get that like, you found like Chicago 98 and stuff like that as the years went on, and just like. The bits and I love Noel. I was a proper Noel,
big Noel head.
I was like, I wanted to hear Noel sing every song his way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know that like the MTV Unplugged stuff and that. I wanted to Noel to do everything. You know what
That's
I mean?
Interesting. Yeah, no, I was going to say, he's a big Noel head. It's funny, I always think people from Manchester or you know, the Manchester area are more Liam heads.
Do you know, all my mates were Liam fans and, like, studied Liam down to a T. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like, they all came here to Swaflex and, like, bought, like, the Liam jackets and whatever Liam was wearing, the Adidas. And I was never really like that. You know, I loved Liam's voice, but I was always, like, searching for something deeper, I think.
Noel,
and, like, I always wanted that. So, yeah. The songwriter, oh my god.
As Noel would say, someone's getting sacked.
Because they all know where the music should be, and they're like, this is not right. So the other staff are coming over going, this is not right.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're doing a good job, aren't they?
Yeah, because I bollock them every day, like, so they're like, that's not upsetting.
But yeah, so no, you were more sort of hunting out the Noel stuff, and I get that. That was one of the special things about them, wasn't it? Is that, you know, most bands, you've only got one singer, whereas actually to know, oh, and it's the songwriter as well. So let's hear how he does it, because he'll bring a different feel to it.
Exactly, yeah, because I think I always just, like, sat there wondering what Noel is thinking, like, when somebody else singing his songs.
Yeah,
loads of people write songs for other people, but they don't stand 5 yards away from them on the stage while playing them, while somebody else is singing them. And then the other dynamic is that he's your brother. You know what I mean? And obviously having a brother like exactly the same age gap, we've got 5 years between them. Like, you're just always like thinking, what they're thinking?
Yeah.
What they thinking, you know what I mean? Like, they're just the most watchable band on stage because of that reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't take your eyes off them. They didn't need fucking fancy fucking stages and stuff like the BA. I know they said it about the BA and stuff, but they never needed that because you just fucking watch your two brothers fucking fall out. You're just waiting for it. Like.
Yeah. That was it. Even at their worst, they're actually more.
Cheers, my
So that's the thing. Even at their worst, even when they did the sort of more stressful gigs and shittier gigs in late years, that's even more entertaining than.
They're doing it all around the world and like doing it and then like doing it like with an American TV host or Letterman or someone like that. You just like, he was like, right, how are they going to react to Letterman? Like, is Noel going to be cocky today? Is Liam going to bollock him? Are they going to shy away? Like, you know what I mean? Just all them dynamics that I just found it fascinating. I still do. I still watch stuff back. I still, like, if I see Liam on Jonathan Ross or like Noel on Jonathan Ross or someone like that, or they've not been on for a while because they're doing the big reveal, haven't they? But I just love to see like how they react with people and how they react with other stars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because Liam doesn't give a shit, and they've always like banked on that personality, haven't they? They've always banked on, we don't give a shit. Who you are, how big you are, like, we are who we are. And that's what people love about it, how real they are.
I think the last time I saw them Blur Boys in Finger, there was a pool table at the top, and I remember launching snooker balls at their heads. They were not sitting down and having drinks.
You don't have any gripes with anyone now, though, do you?
Nah, no one. Only no peace and love, man.
You sound like my ideal guy.
Wow.
You drink, you don't really care, you're quite honest. You know how long it took me to get ready?
Right.
You just could put on your jacket, your trousers.
Not that little, man. It's pretty, but it's extra large.
Yeah, it's actually big, yeah.
No, I don't give a fuck, mate.
Well, that's very attractive.
I leave that up to other fucking clowns.
Yeah. They've never changed, has he? Well, Noel's probably changed a little bit, like, but Liam's never changed, has he?
Yeah. But I think Noel always had that in his locker sort of thing, and I think in the early days he played up the Manc thing a bit more. But you can see him, like, I don't know, he's sort of a bit... And you think, no, he's not really like that. He's a sort of a quieter, cleverer guy. And then
he's a considered guy.
He's a considered guy.
Definitely considered. Yeah. And he's obviously a wordsmith.
Yeah.
But, like, in his interviews, he speaks so well.
Yeah.
That he very rarely stumbles on his words and things. And he always crafts his sentences really well, I think. And I'm always dead proud of him when he talks. I always feel like I'm, like, his dad going, like, fucking well said, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He is. And he knows what he's doing. He's always got the quote. He's always got something to,
I think, like, all the arrogance that they had and the stuff that they built up, I think that's, like, really pissed a lot of people off in the past. You know, like, you know, people who, like, your woke generation, blah, blah, blah. Like, them kind of people who've heard and say it one time that someone's a wanker and they're like, Bono's a wanker, or whoever's a wanker, I know the pattern, but someone's a wanker and they're like, they have an opinion on Liam and Noel fixed on that one thing that they've heard him say back in 10 years ago, you know what I mean? And then they dismiss all the, like, the loveliness that's inside, especially Liam. You know, Liam's like a proper fucking little puppy, isn't he? You know, he's like a proper loving fucking guy, like, and then that's why I love listening to Noel and that, listening to him speak and listening to him play music on his own, because you're searching for, like, what's inside him, you know what I mean? What's going on in there, like. There's a great piece in Supersonic where they talk about when he's behind the glass with a guitar on his own, like, and playing and talking to high picks and that's what I love about the band.
That's quality. But then, so tell me about you then setting up the bar. So it was what, Bolton first, and then you stepped up to this one?
So I'm an engineer by trade, and I did 20 years in that industry and ran my own company for 10 years and stressed out my mind for 10 years and then, you know, I wanted to do something different and we opened the bar and came 3 weeks before COVID in 2020 and we'd literally been in there 2 weeks, and Boris Johnson was on the TV saying, don't visit the pubs and restaurants. And then after three weeks, it shut us down completely.
Yeah.
And, the rest was history with COVID. But we got through it. We had a lot of love in the town, a lot of love for us in the town. You know, that brothers doing this in Bolton, choosing to do it in Bolton rather than Manchester.
Yeah, yeah.
So the town kind of, like, came back out for us after. And, like,
oh, we're going to party, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and, you know, as soon as it's all over and we can all fucking drink again and socialise again. So, so yeah, we did all right. We came through it. We opened a bigger venue in Bolton. And then when we had this planned, Manchester, for a while. It was always like, we've got to do it in Manchester. We've got to take it to Manchester. People aren't going to come from all over the world and come to Bolton because they can't do anything else in Bolton. No. There's nothing else to do. You know, people come here because they come from Manchester for the football, for City, for United, whatever they're doing, holidays. So, yeah, we always had it in our locker, and we had this venue when it shut down like 2 years ago, whatever it was. We spoke to the guys, the leaseholders, and then the reunion happened and took us all by surprise. You know, like, 15 years of rumours, you get sick of rumours, don't you?
Exactly. Like, how do you think I feel?
Exactly. It's like the boy that cried wolf on steroids, isn't it? You know what I mean? So like, you just dismiss everything, and then when the things happen with the Blossoms, when they showed the date at the end of the gig, and I was like, no fucking way, no fucking way they're getting back together. Like, it was mad, and like, there must have been a lot of talking behind the scenes.
Yeah,
Oasis wise, and the numbers must have been just too big to ignore. Yeah, eventually. Yeah. Yeah. Like every year that went by, it got bigger, didn't it?
Yeah.
If they reunited, if they reformed after a year, no one would have even fucking noticed.
No, exactly.
And every year that went by, it was like wanting more and more and more. Yeah. And then the numbers are ridiculous now.
Yeah, they timed it to perfection. Yeah. Everything is perfection. Perfect.
Because they're not too old that everyone goes, it's just a bunch of old fucking men.
Yeah,
Liam
yeah.
still looks in great shape, and he can get himself in great shape, and he's like, and he has done. You can see that he's lost a lot of timber and like got himself shaped like for it. And he'll look after his voice.
Yeah,
it'll be different. It'll be completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
There's too much money involved.
Yeah, that's it. It's
this
so
is like good. Generational wealth for them.
Yeah,
this is like looking after the.
This is true.
I know Noel will always be all right, but for Liam. Yeah. It's like generational wealth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is like next level. Yeah, absolutely.
But, it's like when playing in Saudi Arabia at the end of your football career.
Exactly. Well, I mean, talking about Saudi Arabia, that when people have said to me over the years, oh, will they get back together? And I sort of said, well, yeah, it was all about the number, wasn't it? It was all about, like, is the number going to be big enough that Noel especially is going to be asked to do
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
because he doesn't need to. He could be happily enough doing his high-flying birds. He might even be paying to 3,000 people, right? But he still plays 3,000, but that's still amazing. He can do an album, he can play with Johnny Marr, he can do all the stuff he wants to do. Yeah. But then.
He's still got a cool life, but you know what Noel's like? He's an egomaniac.
Exactly.
He wants that level of status, doesn't he? I tell you what the shift was, I thought for me. You know, everyone talks about his divorce and this and that, and I think that's a bit personal, that, right? You know, it's none of my fucking business what goes on in Noel's fucking marriage and stuff, but like, the big one for me was Robin Park, when Noel played, Noel's I Find Birds played Robin Park in Wigan. And they couldn't sell the tickets, so they were coming in the bar. They were coming in the bar with posters and stuff. So we put these posters up, like, with the ticket links and all that in the bar. And when have you ever seen Oasis do that in last month? Or Noel Liam do that?
Liam.
So like, yeah. they were like, if you put them up, we'll give you a couple of tickets to the gig and stuff. And I was like, fuck! Can you imagine like reporting that back to Noel?
Exactly.
And Noel would just be like, what the fuck am I doing? I can't even sell out Robin Park in fucking Wigan.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So, like, I reckon that was like part of a catalyst where he's going like, fucking hell.
You know what, time's
and then,
right.
So he's gone from that to fucking the absolute madness for Ticketmaster and like fucking
300 quid a ticket.
And like being the main story on fucking on the news, on News at 10.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So like he's back from Noel's point of view. He's fucking back in the big time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, this is the biggest thing ever. And I was going to ask you actually, what do you think of the Adidas, the trailer and the new look? Did you see the trailer the other day?
I did, yeah. I really liked it. I thought like, quite emotional. I find things like that quite emotional, you know what I mean? Because it's such a big part of my life, and has been, and probably always will be. And yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. Like, you know, I cringe a bit at like, they're keeping each other apart and stuff like, but you know, I expected it to be like the Stone Roses, when the Stone Roses got back together and like, do a press conference and like, you know, create a big media scrum and stuff like, but they've just done the opposite, haven't they? It's absolute genius. They're not to do anything.
I agree.
To spend any money whatsoever. They just literally released fucking some dates and fucking
and one photo
and bam, fucking 17 million people have tried applying for 1.4 million tickets. You know what I mean? It's like, one photo, that's probably going to be the most famous photo ever.
Absolutely. And anyway, what a big question, have you got tickets?
I have.
Where are you going? Heaton?
No, I'm going to Cardiff.
You're going to Cardiff? Are you going first night?
I just wanted to see that fucking moment. I just want to see that moment when they walk out on stage together, and I've got to be there for it. Right? So I sorted me a ticket, and I'm forever grateful, because he probably could have gone on holiday for a month by selling it, you know what I mean? So and he knew that I wanted to be there so much, and he just come and said, look, I want you to come with me. Right? So yeah, I was buzzing with that. We're actually trying to stream it back to the bar on the quiet. So I don't know if you want to fucking say that, but I'm gonna try and video like the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just them moments, like what the first song is and fucking the second song is, and everyone bouncing about. Like,
if you're on Instagram or Twitter, everyone will be streaming. The whole thing's, you know, it's gonna be 5,000 people streaming it.
I don't want it to just be everyone with fucking cameras, because it's not gonna look like that, is it?
No, it will be though. I don't think you can get away from it unless
there's gonna be loads of celebs there. As well, isn't there? Yeah. That guy who was talking to you then about, he said Vernon's going to that one, right? So I think that all the celebs are going to the first one. That'll be the big thing.
So I was just talking to Tim Abbott, and then even when I was talking to Brian Cannon as well, like they're doing this thing at the penthouse in somewhere in Cardiff, like in a hotel or something, and there's going to be loads of people there, nowhere near the venue, but like just sort of, you know, in the,
just to be in the
yeah
city.
Just to be there,
big for Cardiff, and, isn't it?
Yeah, it's massive,
it's really
Cardiff.
Big for Cardiff.
Really lucky for them to get night one.
I heard that they were doing it because they can have the stadium for 2 weeks beforehand and get it all ready and stuff like that. I don't know why they chose Cardiff. I can understand why they didn't choose Heaton Park. It's a fucking park.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that, and it's got a roof on it, hasn't it, Cardiff? So they can be
enclosed. If it is absolutely pissing down, then that's
If they want to, like, if they want to do rehearsals like days before, then they can shut the roof.
Shut the roof, and people won't be able to hear.
No drones and fucking stuff.
No drones, of course they're not that. Yeah, fly your fucking drone over the top. There it is, there's the set.
You guarantee somebody will fucking try.
Oh, that's it. Right, that's what I'm sure someone listening to this is like, right, let's get on that. Oh, God, that's the same as that leaked audio the other day when someone was outside.
Have to put an no-fly zone
over. No-fly. Snipers.
Kicking
them off. Oh my god.
Must be a military barracks right there, they can sort that out.
Well, and then saying about one of the good things about it, for those of the people that aren't there and are going to be looking for streams, is the fact that Cardiff is right in the centre of town. It's not like one of these venues, like when I was trying to message when I was at Network, like see Liam recently, I saw Network 96 as well, didn't have a mobile phone then obviously, but seeing Network, Liam a couple of years ago, and there's no fucking signal because you're out in the middle of nowhere, whereas Cardiff is dead centre of town.
I've googled it. It's actually called the Principality Stadium now, isn't it?
When it used to be Millennium.
When I last went, it was Millennium Stadium. Bolton played a cup final there. And I actually googled it the other day about the signal. It says it's a really good 4G or 5G signal inside the stadium, even when the roof's closed. And Taylor Swift played there last year, didn't she?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that were streaming and live, doing live stuff in there, and they could do it. Now, I think there'll be more doing it for Oasis.
It's the first night as well, isn't it? First night.
It's that moment when they walk out on stage.
Yeah.
That moment when they're like, how are they going to look at each
what
other?
What are they going to do? I said,
you're going to walk out and shit all.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? I know. Yeah, all right, boy. But the great thing, though, I bet he hasn't thought about it 1 second.
Exactly.
If that's me and you.
Just what will come. Yeah, we'd all be planning it. We'd
be
planning
it in
advance. What do you think of this? What do you think of that?
Yeah, exactly.
Liam will just come out and go, all right, you sheep shagging fuckers.
It's like, he's probably got don't want to, like, the you know, the people from the touring company write Liam, don't say this, don't say this. And he's like, all right, don't
and
swear.
And that's why we fucking love him.
Exactly.
That's why we love him, because of the unpredictability and the fucking refusal to fucking toe the line. And that's why we love him. And the record companies probably know that. Well, they absolutely know that. And just go, fuck it, do what you want.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what I mean?
Whatever.
I'd say what fascinates me about Liam and Noel is they never really offend. You know, like, they know the boundaries of what to say. Even though they're effing this and effing that, they still don't, like overstep the mark and, like, you know, say things that are really offensive that would, like, absolutely get them fucking rinsed for.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm always dead impressed with that. You never, like...
Yeah. But Liam called someone... I said to my... Because it was a reply to me. Because I said something about... that I wasn't a big fan of the Adidas stuff, and then someone replied to me on Twitter saying, like, oh, it's just a shite cash grab or something, and then Liam replied to that guy. So he was obviously, like, you know, because he sort of keeps an eye on my tweets, which is quite freaky.
Yeah, it's cool though.
It is cool, but it's also a bit weird. But yeah, and then he's replied to that guy and said, like, shut up, you miserable cunt, or something like that. And I was like, I was sat there with my kids, I'm like, oh my god, like, you know. And I said, what is it? Oh, just Liam's, he's not called me a miserable cunt, but he's called this guy a miserable cunt. And my 18-year-old's like, god, any other pop star would be cancelled for that.
Exactly,
it's Liam, who gives a shit, you know.
Well, that's why the press don't even pick up on it, because they just go, they tell him to fuck off.
Yeah.
It's just Noel's way of joking with it, saying he burgled houses and he'd done this and the other. It's just, you know, a slip of the tongue.
They've compared themselves to the Beatles and live up to the image of the wild men of rock. Oasis are pop music's bad boys, but until now their behaviour hasn't attracted the interest of the police. In an interview with a music magazine, however, songwriter Noel Gallagher allegedly admitted he and others used to break the law. What people have got to understand is we're lads, he supposedly said. We have burgled houses and nicked car stereos, and we like girls and we swear. But according to Mum Margaret, the alleged boasts are just Noel being naughty.
I'm not really surprised, because it's just Noel's way of joking with it. You know, sort of April Fool thing, just saying he burgled houses and he'd done this and the other, which is just, you know, a slip of the tongue.
The police in the band's hometown of Manchester, however, don't think it's funny and say they'll be investigating the report. Chris Roberts, ITN.
Paul, it's been great to talk, man. It's been brilliant. You can tell your passion that you love it, and, well, you don't go to the effort of doing this if you don't love it. And I suppose it's a message for people. Like you said, you had all that time doing engineering and stuff, and then actually you followed your dream, and fucking hell, you are definitely Bar Manchester, the place to come if you're coming to Manchester and you want to do something Oasis-y. Absolutely.
Yeah, come and see us, look after you.
Yeah, brilliant. All right, all the best, man.
Thanks, Paul.
That was great, mate.
Well done. All right, there we go. That was Paul Gallagher, not that one. I think I'm contractually obliged to say Paul Gallagher, not that one, every time I mention him. But yeah, lovely guy, actually, and quite surprising. He's a massive guy. So he must be like 6'3", 6'4", built guy. And then, he starts talking about how, you know, it was really the music of Noel that really spoke to him. And you sort of think, oh, wow, kind soul, actually, in a fucking quite scary exterior. But yeah, top man. Make sure you head down to Definitely Maybe Bar when you're in Manchester. And it was quite funny, a couple of times, like you said, you could probably hear the music come in. He'd said to them, all right, keep the music down, I'm doing this interview. But then different people were turning up for their work shift, and then they'd be like, what's going on, the music's not, and then they kept putting the music up again. And so I think a couple of people might got a beating or sacked at the least, but only joking, all good. All right, so from one person that sells beer connected to Oasis to another, let's cross over to my interview now with Johnny Kirkham, who runs Wonderwall Beer.
Today was gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you got to do. And I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the wind is on the street, that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you had it on the phone, but you never really had it out.
Believe in anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Yeah, so welcome to the Oasis podcast. Johnny Kirkham, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, really good, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, yourself?
Yeah, all good. All good, thank you very much. Pretty mad, as you might expect, with what are we now, 8 days to go? Yeah. How are you feeling about it?
I'm looking forward to it, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of secrecy involved. And it's, I don't know, there's a lot of kind of guesswork going on around, you know, what the set list's going to be, where are they rehearsing, what's real, what's not. I think the only things we've seen at the moment is Noel looking pretty pensive at Paddington Station, and then Bonehead pictures of like his feet going down an escalator in some kind of underground station. So it's just remarkably quiet. There's obviously a couple of bits come out, and the Adidas piece is really good, but the kind of it's just like there's nothing to grab hold of at the moment. So yeah, it just feels like it's going to massively explode on the night. We haven't seen him together. There's loads of like AI and Photoshop stuff as well. I think everyone's just kind of like full of anticipation.
Yeah.
How about you? How are you feeling?
I'm struggling, mate. I think like I was saying to someone the other day, like it's like the closest I've got to it is like when it's sort of like, you know, when you're coming up to your wedding. You know, and you're like stressed because it's not just you. It's like everyone else just going for a fun day, but you've got to think about the speech and the timings and, you know, everything going right. So because it's not just, you know, oh, just going to a gig. It's like, well, what recording am I doing on the day? What? Yeah, actually, the BBC have been in touch. And so I might be doing some stuff with the BBC on the day. And so as well as the stress of like, you know, will they turn up? What's the gig going to be like? You know, all the logistics of just, is the ticket going to work? You know, all that sort of crap. But other than that, it is, so I'm not actually like excited about, I just want to get the rest of the day done and then be there and get them on the stage. And then I'll be able to relax, I think.
So which shows are you at then? You're obviously going to the first and doing some podcast stuff outside of it, and then will you know, kind of like switch off from that and just be able to enjoy the night, or have you got other stuff you're planning?
Yeah, well, so on the I've just managed to snare on the I haven't talked about this publicly, but I've managed to snare a ticket for the fifth as well, the second day at Cardiff.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, so I'm thinking like the first day is just going to be stress, like, you know, and just you know, in shell shock, I think, and then the second day, because I'm driving home as well after the second gig. And so the second day I can just be a bit more chilled. I'm not going to be drinking. Like I can just be a bit more kind of take it in and actually probably watch it properly and like listen and think about it rather than the first day is just going to be like,
it's going to be a lot of noise.
Are you going to any?
Yeah, lucky enough to be going to two shows. So I'm going to the Wembley show on the 25th of July. And then I'm going to take my middle son, because he's into Oasis, he's only 15, plays guitar. I'm taking him on the 3rd of August. Thankfully, one of our football coaches, for one of the lads, father of three boys, he just put on the WhatsApp group about 3 weeks ago, I've got two spare tickets for Oasis. Anyone fancy it? Face value. I'm like, yeah, absolutely I do. So he doesn't want anything for it. So I'll you know, just pay him face value and some beers. But yeah, so I'm lucky enough to be going twice. Can't wait. And of course, you know, all the anticipation, the build-up for the first show is going to be, you know, kind of immense. I think it's going to be phones everywhere, aren't there? And I think unlike Nebworth, where everyone was kind of in that moment, I think Noel said it before, you know, there were no phones apart from, you know, or cameras apart from, you know, disposables and that kind of stuff. This is going to be, you know, kind of shared really quickly, I imagine. So I'm sure you can get onto YouTube at, I don't know, 9 o'clock and you'll be able to see clips straight away. So I think that's going to spread like wildfire. And then the cat's out of the bag then, I guess. It's, you know, one big sing-along, one massive love-in. Pretty emotional, I reckon, for loads of people, loads of generations. I don't think it's going to be 80,000 people with Liam Gallagher haircuts. I think it's just going to be a massive mix of people. And I think the great thing is that everybody that's going is going to want to really be there. It's not like you're getting dragged along. This is 80,000 proper fans who probably know every word of every song. So it's going to be hit after hit. So if the you know, weather plays its part, or even if it doesn't, it just feels like it's kind of, this is the, you know, when you talk about this is history at Nebworth, I think this is the kind of biggest moment. It's almost like the pinnacle of the career. So just looking forward to having so, another wait.
And just so you know, I was saying about the BBC there, like they, basically, the plan is, this hasn't been announced publicly yet, so this might be a bit of an Oasis podcast exclusive, but the BBC are basically going to be live streaming all day. So Oasis, countdown to the comeback is your front row seat to the biggest reunion of the decade. Tina Dehealy and Jason Mohammed are doing a special live stream building up to the gig in Cardiff. Yeah, and so basically what they'll be doing is just like, you know, Glastonbury coverage or whatever. Like, so BBC will just be running it on the iPlayer and website all day. And so, yeah, so I might get involved in a bit of that. And then, which just shows how big it is, right? They don't do that for random gigs, you know? This is something else.
Absolutely. And I think it's like anything we'll have experienced in our lifetime. I think probably one of the advantages of this is the Beatles never got to do this, you know, for lots of reasons. The nearest we probably got was the anthology when they were sitting around chatting. But, you know, Zeppelin haven't quite done it. You know, three of them got together that time. The Who have done it in bits and pieces. But, you know, I know it's not all the original members, but with Bonehead and then, you know, Gem and Andy Bell, there's still of that core found, you know, of the founders and then the kind of, you know, the evolution of Oasis. So, yeah, this is kind of like the big thing, isn't it? It's going to be absolutely huge. And, you know, the hype's already big and it's just going to get bigger and bigger. I think, as you say, if the BBC are doing a big coverage, you know, big piece on it all day, then, yeah, I think the whole of the country's going to be gripped.
It'd be absolutely nuts. But tell me about your history, though, mate. When did you get into Oasis?
Yeah, so I suppose for the start would be listening to my mum and dad's 60s, you know, vinyl record collection as a kid. Started playing guitar when I was about 12, 13 in, like, bands at school. And then when Oasis hit in, what, 94? Yeah, right from the off, really. Lucky enough to see them in 95 down at Earl's Court. Nebworth, 96, the first night. And then I've seen like a number of different like solo shows from Liam and Noel, whether it's at Glastonbury or down at Coco or High Flying Birds. Liam Gallagher, 30th anniversary, definitely maybe till last year. Saw him in Southampton in 05. So, just right from day one, really. And then, started collecting a little bit of memorabilia as well. And bought Tony McCarroll's drum kit, which I think Kyle might have told you. So I was fortunate enough to have that for a short period of time. And I'm sure Tony would desperately want it back. And I bought it at an auction, held on to it for ages, got it out once when I first bought it, marveled at it. And then it was just basically in the spare room, which is not good enough, is it? So sold it. My wife said, oh, you know, no one will really want that because you can't really display a drum kit on the wall, you know, like you can a guitar. Like, yeah, maybe, but you know, it's Supersonic cover, it was first Glastonbury appearance, you know, all played all the way through, definitely maybe first number one. I think there's some value in it. So anyway, I took my nephew down to, I think it was Bonhams or Sotheby's, sold it about 2 years ago, and desperately wish I kept hold of it. But as I say, that's a far cry from how Tony, I'm sure, wishes he'd kept hold of it as well. So that was quite an interesting period. Bought some other memorabilia bits as well. So got quite a few handwritten lyrics, which obviously Noel does quite frequently. Not sure if he does them anymore, but I've collected quite a few of those. So I did kind of keep the collection going, if you like. What else? I've got a first press of one of three, I think it is, of Definitely Maybe, when it was just one vinyl, rather than when it went to two, which is obviously the ultimate way that they released the record. I've always just kept an active interest in them, really. So, you know, it's the same with the Beatles, really. They kind of dominate my, you know, my Spotify, have done for years, really. And then obviously with this kind of coming back into view, you know, everything's just become relevant again. I've been a big, big fan. And just lucky enough that I'm actually going. And as I say, it's just going to be a, you know, major event for everybody. It's quite nice I'm able to take my son as well, which is pretty good.
That's massive. That's massive, yeah. Isn't it? It's crazy. Like, and then the other thing, obviously, with the beer, right? So I saw this pop up, like Aldi are doing like Supernova Champagne and Aldi are doing Wonderwall Lager, and I was like, oh, come on, like that's cheap of Aldi, you know, to do sort of a cash in. And then when I spoke to you and found out, it's like, no, you're like a one-man band who is like, you know, is a massive fan. So I'm suddenly like, oh, great. All right. Well, that's brilliant then. You know, in that case, fantastic.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I quit a well-paid job to do it. So, handed my notice in February. I actually trademarked the word Wonderwall because I did actually release my own beer about 10 years ago called My Generation after the Who song. But long story short, I've been working for breweries for ever since I left like university, so you know, 20 odd years, Worked on like Corona, Red Stripes. I did a lot of music stuff with them. So I've always tried to blend, you know, my passions really, beer and music together. But I had the idea, as I say, about 10 years ago. I took it to work. We couldn't quite find the right way to do it. And I thought, if I don't do it now, I never will. So thankfully, with the support of my wife, she said, you know, if you feel you want to go for it, go for it. So I managed to get a deal with Aldi, but it's nothing to do with them in terms of, you know, ownership. It's purely that's the, I guess, the retailer that gave me a shout. I went to see them, we shook hands there and then, which gave me the confidence to be able to, you know, I guess, step away with some level of, like, you know, hope that I was going to get some listings. So they've got it as an exclusive. And, yeah, so it's nothing to do, as I say, with Aldi. But, as I say, they've been really supportive and been able to get it onto shelves. So, yeah, one-man band. So far, so good. I've got my niece doing some social media, but that is it. That's it in a nutshell. So a bit of a heart-in-mouth moment when you're kind of having to shell out and, you know, hoping nothing goes wrong. But so thankfully, we've got through that bit now and just able to enjoy, you know, it being available and drinking a few as well. So, and the weather's been great as well. So, yeah, this is it.
No, well, I've seen it pop up already. Like, I think everyone, you know, is just like, just to the novelty of it. Like, you know, that's it. Oh, brilliant. You know, and everyone knows Wonderwall, don't they? It's like, so yeah, but it must be quite heartening for you to see it popping up with people like tagging it in and posting things like that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think when you kind of start with an idea and just a blank piece of paper and you're going, right, you know, what's it going to taste like? And you have to go through that whole process of putting it together, the design, all the rest of it. And the most satisfying thing is just, is A, getting it onto shelves and it being available to buy, and then B, just people, you know, getting in touch and being really positive and supportive. And I think what I've found that I've not dived into the Oasis communities before at kind of, you know, this kind of level, I've just been a fan and I guess, you know, check social media from time to time, see what the news is. But what I found is that the Oasis community has just been really supportive. So Kyle, who I mentioned before, he's been really good, yourself, and a few of the guys have kind of come out of the woodwork just saying, you know, oh, well done, you know, brave thing to do. It's just nice to kind of have something that's part of the moment, if you like, my little bit of tiny contribution in what's going on at the moment. So, yeah, they've just been really good. And, yeah, so people keep buying it, really.
And tell us about the taste then. And how did you come up with the taste? Like, you know, what was the idea? What were you thinking?
Yeah, I wanted to make a really sessionable lager. So I wanted to make sure it's low carbonation because lots of lagers are really, really fizzy. I don't know whether it's just my stage of life, but I'm probably looking for less fizzy drinks. So I want it to be clean, I want it to be crisp, refreshing, straight down the middle, you know, 4% supping lager, where you can, you know, obviously go through a few cans and, you know, you can have a long evening with it rather than, you know, a real strong beer and, you know, maybe that's lights out after an hour or two. So that was the idea, really. So we had a few test brews, chose one, put the spec together so you get into the, like, realms of, like, what colour is it going to be? Bitterness levels, carbonation levels, loads of scientific brewing words that get banded around. And I'm not a brewer. I can get by a little bit in terms of some of the language, but, you know, a lot of it is kind of over my head. So just trying to join all those dots. That's part of it, really, was getting the beer brewed, getting it canned, obviously designed, and then into central warehouses and all the kind of admin you have to do in order to set yourself up as a bona fide supplier. So that was a learning for me, which I've been doing over in the spring, really. Thankfully, you get to that stage, and as I say, yeah, here we are. So it's now available. Amazing. So
did you have to go through a process of, like, going to the brewer and just being like, right, give me like 10 different? So that would have been a fun afternoon.
Yeah. So you get loads of different samples sent down. And then essentially just make sure that you put them in the fridge and you test everything equally and make sure you cleanse your palate and go again. And then I got a bit of help with some friends as well, just to make sure I had other opinions as well. But yeah, I mean, the range of different beer styles and varieties and strengths and all the rest of it is vast. Yeah. But I think the thing about lager, you know, you've just got to try and straight down the middle, non-offensive, you don't want to be talking about it all night, but it just needs to be part of that conversation when you're, you know, hanging out with your mates, and yeah, it's just part of having a good night, really. So, yeah.
Amazing. Very exciting. I'm very excited, Johnny, and this is very kind of you to do this. So we're going to give away, how much are we going to give away? A six pack, or what do you reckon?
No, well, a case.
Okay. 24 cans. A case? Come on, man. Yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Two cases if you want.
Let's give away a case then. So what we're going to do is make sure you're following Wonderwall Beer UK on Facebook and Instagram, or either or, if you're not an Instagram person, whatever, then fine. But make sure you're following on at least Facebook or Instagram. And what we want to hear on one of those, we want you to do a tag. I want you to tag me, Oasis Podcast, on Oasis Pod, Oasis Podcast on Facebook. Tag Wonderwall Beer UK. And we want to hear your best Oasis beer pun. That's what we want to hear. And so I'll give you a couple of options. Go Let It Stout would be a good one. Some Pints Say, like that one. So nice. Yeah, something like that. I want your cheesy Oasis beer puns. And then, yeah, get in touch with that on one of those things. And then the lucky winner will get a case. Wow. Or maybe maybe just a six pack and you send me a case. What do you reckon?
Okay. I could probably do both. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, no, thank you. That's great. That's really kind of you. Thanks very much for that, Jake.
No, it's very kind of you. That's brilliant. So, yeah, so make sure you guys are doing that. As I say, get in touch. And, yeah, and someone will be the lucky recipient. And actually, Johnny has said he's going to ping me a few beers. And so I'm going to be in Cardiff on the 4th and now the 5th, because I've just said I've managed to get a ticket for the 5th. So I'm going to be in and around on Cardiff. I'm going to have a load of Wonderwall beers with me as well. So, yeah, if you find me on Cardiff in a day, come and say hello, and I might give you a cheeky free Wonderwall beer. How's that?
Top man. Excellent.
Wonderful. Cool. All right. So, Johnny, that's absolutely brilliant. Well, thank you very much, mate. It's been great to catch up.
Likewise. Thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
No worries at all. And so where can the people find you? So it's Wonderwall Beer on Instagram and Facebook is the best, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Wonderwall Beer UK, Instagram, Facebook. You know, get in touch, say hello. We're putting more content on there, you know, on a daily basis. And obviously as things start to rev up towards the gigs as well, we're just going to get stuck in and join the madness, really. So, thanks for all your support and thanks for everyone that's bought a beer so far. You can get it in Aldi. Hope you enjoy it if you seek it out, and thanks very much for having me on. Appreciate it.
No worries at all. I'm going to stick you on the spot now, mate. What's your I like to finish by asking guests without warning them, what's your favorite Oasis song and why?
Favorite Oasis song straight off the bat is some might say not really being the fact that it's first number one. I passed my driving test the same week that came out and had it on cassette single. So I just remember being 17 in some clapped out like Sierra with a tape player. And you know, when you, back in those days, you just basically just play it, wouldn't you? And you'd flip it over, you'd play it again. I must have done that probably, I don't know, every single time I was in that car for the first few weeks. So every time I hear it, it takes me right back to that summer driving, you know, just that whole kind of freedom. You're about to become an adult type thing. It's just got a lot of memories, a lot of emotion wrapped up in that. So, yeah, that's definitely mine. Yeah. And you?
Oh, that's absolutely magic, mate. That's absolutely magic. Well, I won't. Yeah, I've talked about my favourite Oasis song in here a million times, but I'll give you. So my little car story, I don't think I've talked about it here. So my first car was like a little Peugeot, and the number plate, I think it was like, it was close to like Liam. It was like I-A-N, or it was like, it ended yeah. like 1-I-A-M or something. So I was like, oh my God, it pretty much says Liam. And so I called him Liam. And he had a choke, you know, the car with the choke. Yeah, I didn't even have it anymore. And I was like, and he needed a choke to get going. So I was like, a bit of choke, mate, a bit of choke to get me going, you know? So that was Liam.
Excellent.
But yeah,
very good.
I do miss him. But no, I love that when you got the tape, like, you know, that's the beauty of having tapes in cars, isn't it, that you could just flip it over and yeah, just play it out. And yeah,
I think it only had a fast forward as well, so you know, you're constantly trying to just find the right spot when you want to listen to B-sides and stuff. So but yeah, I've still got that cassette single as well, and I won't be getting rid of it anytime soon. So yeah, that's definitely my one.
Amazing. Johnny, great talk to you, pal.
You too, my friend. Thanks a lot.
Some might say we will find a brighter day.
into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, top man, Johnny Kirkham, much appreciated, mate. And yeah, make sure you're following Wonderwall Beer UK on Instagram and Facebook. And yes, so to be included in this competition, you need to be following Wonderwall Beer UK on either Instagram or Facebook, and also obviously following the Oasis podcast. So what we'll do, Wonderwall Beer UK will do a post that you need to comment on. Or I'll do a post on Instagram as well. You can comment on that one. Or I'll do one on Twitter as well, because I'll do one on Twitter. There's lots of good people on Twitter. So look, just find that post from Wonderwall Beer UK or from myself. And I want to see your best Oasis beer pun. Now, come on, it's easy enough. I'm sure you can Google it and figure one out. But yeah, go let it stout, some pint, say, something like that. And yeah, and we will choose the best one. And we will, yeah, and the lucky winner will get a case of Wonderwall Lager. Very exciting. And like I said, I'm going to bring some along on the 4th as well. And the plan is, if you come and record with me, I'll give you an Oasis podcast badge, maybe a copy of the Oasis podcast CD I did a couple of years ago, and also a can of Wonderwall beer, but until they run out, which will probably be quite quick. But anyway, there we go. Right. So you know what you got to do. Check out Wonderwall Beer UK on Instagram, Facebook. Check out my Twitter post, my Instagram post. Give me a comment. Give me a comment with those things, with your Oasis beer pun, and then we'll take it from there. Cool. All right. Well, let's get into some audio messages, shall we? So let's see who we've got first. Here is Tyler.
Yes, JC, Tyler here. Long-term listener and patron, but first-time contributor to the pod. I just thought I'd drop some sort of general thoughts in, and maybe a slight backstory. As one of the sort of younger generation of Oasis fan about the sort of upcoming reunion. At 26, I was 10 when the band split back in 2009. Apologies, that makes you feel old. Obviously never got to see them and wasn't a fan. In fact, they actually played one of their last ever gigs. So I am from Cornwall. So they played one of their last ever gigs here in Cornwall. They played at the Eden Project in July of 2009, which was one of their last ever shows before the split a month later. So I became a fan of the band when I was about 16, 17. I remember I grew up in the noughties, and I grew up on chart music and listening to Now albums. Quite sad, really. And I'd always liked Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger. I remember when I was in college, and I don't know what possessed me to, but I put on, I just typed Oasis into YouTube, clicked on play, and obviously Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger came on. It then went into Stop Crying Your Heart Out, which I did recognise, and then Champagne Supernova played, and it absolutely blew me away. I couldn't quite believe what I just listened to. And I was like, wow, where's this song been my whole life? And from that moment on, I was absolutely hooked. And to put that into like a timeline perspective, probably about a year after Noel had released Chasing Yesterday, and about a year, 18 months before Liam's comeback with As You Were. So I had all that time then to soak up all things Gallagher related. And yeah, just became an absolutely massive fan. I've seen the brothers a few times. I've seen Noel just the once. But I have seen Liam four times. Two of those were, again, quite of his bigger shows. I was at Nebworth in 2022. Or as me and my friend joke about, I went to the gig with The Day We Survived Fat White Family, and I was also at Finsbury Park in 2018, which again, I mean, even to be at Nebworth was just such a sort of surreal experience for something so esteemed in Oasis history, but not quite as good as the real thing. I am going to two gigs. I didn't get them at the time, but I managed to get an in-demand ticket for Manchester, the first night in Manchester on the 11th, a couple of months ago. And then last week, I think it's an exhibition package, standing ticket for the first night in Cardiff popped up on Twickets, and I just had to buy it. I knew I'd regret it if I didn't. So yeah, I am going. And as I record this, it's the early hours of Friday the 27th, and I can now officially say, you know, it's a week away, and it's just crazy how all this sort of time has sort of crept up. I was actually at the Blossoms gig last August in Withenshaw when the date flashed up on the big screen after the gig, which, if you remember, it was about 10-15 minutes before it flashed up at the end of Liam's set at Reading, and about half an hour before the Gallagher socials all tweeted out. I actually remember going into your Instagram live, JC, and sort of putting, oh my God, Blossoms just announced an Oasis reunion. And like, Blossoms is one of my favourite bands. I went with my sister, who doesn't really like Oasis, so she just couldn't quite, she just didn't understand my level of excitement. I'd just seen Blossoms play their like biggest, one of my favourite bands play their biggest headline show, and they effectively played a support act. They were effectively a support act to a 10-second clip on the big screen, which was just surreal. But yeah, so just to summarise, I can't believe it. It's just only next week, and of course it means a lot for all of us that the boys are getting back together, but I think for myself and the younger contingent that never got to see them the first time around, it's just going to be such an incredible experience. And I still, because of the lack of promo, I still almost don't believe it. To be down there at the conclusion of Fucking in the Bushes, when Noel and Liam walk out on stage next week, is just going to be the most incredible thing ever, really. And I don't often get emotional at gigs. There's only a small handful of songs I've seen live that ever got me emotional, but I think Acquiesce will just hit differently. I am travelling up on my own next Friday, so hopefully I will get to catch up with you, JC, and a few of the other guys in and around that day. But yeah, 7 days to go as I record this. Stay young.
Cheers, Tyler. Much appreciated, mate. Thank you for being a patron. And thanks for the message. And yeah, that's what it's all about, man. Like, especially the younger generation. I don't know which interview it's been, because obviously I've done tons in the last couple of weeks. But whoever it was that said, you know, I think it might have been Ted or Hamish in that one, that when they weren't going to get back together, it was like, well, you know, you had enough chance to see us, you know what I mean? Like, there was ample chance. If you wanted to see Oasis, you could have seen them, because they were playing stadiums for like 11 years, so you know, so there was plenty of opportunity to see them. But actually, you know, this younger generation coming through haven't had the chance to see them, because it's another sort of decade on from, you know, almost now since Supersonic came out. So that whole wave of people that didn't get the chance, were too young, that are now adults and want to see them. So, yeah, so that is the big difference, I think. And, so it's going to be huge for us, for the OG fans who, you know, just been desperate to see them back together again. But, yeah, even more special, I think, for the younger generation that didn't see them. So, you know, so really, really excited for you, mate. You might be travelling up on your own, but you won't be on your own once you get there, because, yeah, just come and find us. There will be a huge gang of Oasis podcast people around. Just in and around Cardiff. What we're saying is around, like, the Owen Glendower pub or the Tiny Rebel pub on Womanby Street, somewhere in that kind of region. But, yeah, make sure you're following the Oasis podcast socials. And it will be it will be quite a day. All right, brilliant. That was great stuff. Thank you, Tyler. This is Evelyn.
Hey, James. How are you doing? This is Evelyn. I just want to say I really enjoyed the number 301 ranking episode. I always love your dialogue episodes more than the others, you know. Especially this 301 episode, you added a positive highlight part for every song, and it gave me a new perspective on those songs I don't usually perform. Not to mention, I always find surprises in your podcast because of your wide range of knowledge. For example, I could never imagine there's such a beautiful demo of ballroom figured. It is so touching. You found a new way of doing rankings compared with the episode 201. Thank you, James. I really appreciate it. Also, please do keep singing in the podcast. You help us get melody quickly, and you're really good at imitating instruments. It's fun to listen to. Anyway, I can't wait for the next episode. Hope you're all right. Love from China. Bye-bye.
Wow, I think that might be our first audio message from China. Excellent. Thank you so much, Evelyn. I've got people are listening in China. That still kind of blows me away. I still kind of think that the only people that listen to the podcast is like the 12 people that are regularly commenting on the Discord. But, you know, some other people are listening. I get that. And like I said, I love getting these audio messages. So wherever you are in the world, even if English isn't your first language, you know, please do ping them in, because it just sort of, I'll be honest, it's massive ego boost for me to think that people in different countries are listening. And Evelyn, thank you so much. Yeah, so Evelyn dropped me a text email, and I said, like, oh, it'd be great to get a voicemail. So I don't know if you caught all of that at the start, but what she's basically saying is that she really loved the ranking episodes. So she loves the bits when it's just me talking to myself, which is my least favorite episodes. I much prefer to be doing conversations and interviews, but you know, sometimes I just haven't got anything lined up, so I'll tend to do these sort of ranking episodes and things like that where I just do it myself. But she sort of was just saying that she really enjoyed the ranking episodes, and the big difference with this one being what I've been doing on these on this new set of ranking episodes was the giving a positive aspect on each song and also dropping in a clip on each song. And so that for me, it just differentiated it. It just made it a bit more different, a bit more interesting, and also force you to think, no, let's just appreciate this. Even the songs that you might skip. No, all of these songs, even the ones that are right at the bottom, have got something interesting and different about them. And there's something to go and enjoy, definitely. And so I was, you know, that was what I was hoping for. So when I got that message from Evelyn, I was like really pleased that actually she did appreciate that, because you just don't know whether, you know, you do these things, you work hard on them, you put them out there, you might get a handful of comments, you know. And so it's lovely to think that, you know, that someone did enjoy it. It was worth all those sitting up hours into the night sort of editing clips in. But there we go. And yeah, and thank you very much. Yeah, so it was someone commented, I can't remember what it was now. Was it on Twitter, I think? But someone had said, you know, please stop singing during episodes, or because I can't help it. Like if I'm talking about the melody, if I want to demonstrate a melody in a song, you know, I'll tend to just sing it, or I'll tend to just nya 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 it or whatever. Or if I'm, you know, doing a guitar solo, I'll do 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 do, you know. And I just think it paints a better picture. If you don't do that, then you might think, oh, I don't remember what the, you know, what the guitar solo of someone might say sounds like. Whereas when you hear me then do it, you go, oh, right, yeah, it's that, you know. So but yeah, I'm aware that that's not everyone's bag, and some people might find that annoying. And I did sort of try and you know, reduce it a little bit on the last episode I did. But I'm going to keep doing it, because, as I said, it's natural to me that I'm quite a, you know, an extrovert person. And that's generally how I do things. I'll wave my hands around, I'll sing, I'll, you know, just, you know, get the point across in the best way that I possibly can. And Evelyn did ask if we were going to carry on doing that ranking. And I definitely will, because at the moment, like the special 300 episode special thing we did was me just talk about how I didn't really like the bottom 20 odd Oasis songs. And you think, oh, that's not really a special celebration for the 300th episode, just to slag off Oasis songs. But what I'm going to do, I do want to get back to it. But like at the moment, you know, it's just been so inundated with all these other things as well. So I think once the madness of the first few gigs are out of the way, then that's something I might do, get back to. I also want to keep on with the Oasis A to Z. And so next up on the Oasis A to Z is Hey Now. And after that, it's Hung in a Bad Place. So if you are going to come and meet me in Cardiff, have some thoughts about either Hey Now or Hung in a Bad Place. And then if you come up and tell me, oh, James, I want to talk to you about Hey Now or Hung in a Bad Place, brilliant. Because then we can actually, you know, that will help me out, because then we'll have some good stuff ready for the next two A to Z episodes as well. And it won't just be, how are you feeling about the gig, you know, or how was the gig? You know, we'll have something a bit different. Anyway, all right, that was brilliant. Thank you, Evelyn. All right, so from China, we're going to head south and east, I think, probably. Well, definitely south, down to Australia. Here's Brendan.
Hey, James. G'day again from Australia. I got in touch a couple of years ago now, and yeah, been meaning to get in touch, even just to drop, you know, a quick audio message or something. But yeah, far out. I don't know how you do it and put together these great podcasts. How you find the time to do it and do it so well. Yeah, I don't know how you do it. But yeah, I'm halfway through, just catching up on a few episodes, halfway through that one of the Oasis leaked rehearsal. And yeah, really enjoying it, really, really enjoying it as usual. Just your attention to detail across all your podcasts that you've done over the years, and yeah, your passion that you put into it. It's just awesome, man. Yeah, really, really, really good. Yeah, I think it's real. I think it's real, that audio of that rehearsal, for a few reasons. I'm not a drummer, but I do love playing drums. I'm not a drummer, I'm more of a guitarist, but just some of the drumming choices. Yeah, so Tony McCarroll used to do that thing sometimes, like at the end of Slide Away, I think it was, and just thinking more Live by the Sea, he used to do that thing where at some times he would hit the cymbal at the same time as the snare, kind of like that kind of thing. And at the end of that leaked rehearsal audio, in Cigarettes and Alcohol, at the end where it's the guitar solo bit, he's doing that. Joey, the new drummer. Yeah, and I love that choice. It just sounds like they're going back to them sort of original, from the original recordings, you know what I mean? And I love that. I really like that approach of, like, that real simplicity, but just how it's so solid and just executed so well. Yeah, I loved all their other drummers, definitely, really, really did. But one that comes to mind as an example of kind of not doing that was Alan White, playing Supersonic at Wembley in 2000, where he's doing the intro on the ride cymbal, not the open hi-hat, and he's sort of, the way he approached it was, you know, adding in extra kick notes and snare notes, which, yeah, I loved at the time, but I don't know, just with all of the live stuff, I do prefer the more straight and real solid approach. So I was really happy to hear that, and also that little touch that McCarroll did at some points doing the cymbal at the same time as the snare. This is nice to hear that. I suppose we'll know once the tour starts. I mean, if Fade Away is played after Cigarettes and Alcohol, that would add more to the evidence that that was in fact a leaked rehearsal. I suppose they can change up the set list and do whatever, but I would imagine they would lock it in and that would be the set list for the tour. So I suppose we'll wait and see if Fade Away is after Cigarettes and Alcohol. That's about it, really. I'll send this off to you, and love the podcast, and yeah, we'll continue to listen, man. So yeah, awesome work, awesome work. Cheers, have a good day. Bye, mate.
Thank you very much, Brendan, much appreciated, mate. Thank you for getting in touch again after a couple of years. And yeah, thank you for all the very, very kind comments. It is appreciated. Yeah, it is, I'm not digging ditches, right? I'm not out there bloody, you know, pouring concrete and things. You know, ultimately all I do is sort of, you know, when everyone else in my house has gone to bed, I tend to sit and like edit audio for a couple of hours, like most nights, which, you know, is fine, because it's, you know, what else you're going to be doing? Scrolling on Twitter, watching TV, you know, playing video games, stuff like that. My thing I tend to do is sort of edit podcasts, which is fine. So yeah, so it's look, it is a bit of a slog, but it's 100% worth it, and it's 100% worth it because I get lovely messages like that. I do really, really appreciate it. So yeah, great point about the leaked audio. Although if you're only listening to that one, mate, like, you know, you've got quite a lot to catching up to do. But yeah, going back to that, I mean, that's mad. That feels like a year ago now. It was only a few weeks ago. But yeah, very interesting. I think we were sort of coming around to that point about the drummers as well, that this didn't feel like any of the later drummers. It felt most like Tony McCarroll. And I think that it's probably because Joey can do it, can do the Tony McCarroll style, and that's what he's doing. And so what I just thought I'd do here is, you mentioned about Alan White in starting Supersonic and Tony starting Supersonic. And I think that's something I've always noticed as well. I was actually listening to Oasis live at Nebworth in the car today, and when Supersonic starts, you can just hear he's doing all these like extra little bits that Tony doesn't do. And so, and it's probably just because he finds it boring, you know. It's like, well, why would I just literally do this simple bum-ch, bum-bum-ch when I've got the ability to go bum-brum, bum-ch-bum, like that. But ultimately, sometimes you don't want bum-brum, bum-ch-bum-bum. You want bum-ch, bum-bum-ch. So there we go again, singing in a podcast. There you go, Evelyn. But yeah, so let's give you a little example here. So I didn't pull Familiar to Millions because I found the intro to this one good. This is from 2000, the Euro Rockanese Festival, and then Live by the Sea. So let's do a comparison.
Like Andy Pandy. Yeah. That was a little flower pot, man. Do honest. Can't cook, won't cook, something like that. Let some out of green up.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So I think that's so clear. And like I said, I'm not a drummer. And when I do all these analysis things, you know, it's not something I tend to notice, like drumming and or bass, the difference. You can hear it a little bit in some songs and things, but it's so clear to me. You can just hear that the additional little frills and things that Alan brings that Tony doesn't do. And to be honest, I much prefer the way Tony does it. And that's not just saying that because... You know, I've interviewed Tony, I wouldn't say he's a mate, but you know what I mean? Like, I've met him a number of times now. You know, he's a good acquaintance. Whereas I don't know Alan. And so, you know, but no, that's not what it is. It's genuinely, for Supersonic, what do I want to hear? I want to hear the straightforward Tony sound, which is the sound on the record. And if Joey is going to do the sound on the record, then that's ultimately going to be better. Like, if we said, like, oh, Supersonic kicks in and the drumming is slightly different and it sounds like Alan Platt, I'm not going to go, like, oh no, I'm not going to enjoy this. Of course, I'm going to absolutely love it because it'll be Oasis playing Supersonic. But yeah, given the choice, let's try and be as close to the record as possible, I'd say. And yeah, and I agree. Therefore, I do think it's real. I do think that footage is real. Nothing's come up in the preceding sort of couple of weeks that would point to the fact it's not. So we have to assume it's real and potentially leaked on purpose to get a bit more press and a bit more excitement going. Who knows? But yes, all good. Thank you, Brendan. Yeah, do feel free to stay in touch and I hope you're well. The only other thing, just to mention, we had like Oasis Night on TV the other night. That was good fun. It was a lot of the old stuff was being shown, like Right Here, Right Now. And there was a concert. There was a Live at Later from 2000, which was fine. I enjoyed it a lot. I hadn't seen it for years, actually, because I don't tend to watch the old... I don't tend to watch live performances from like 2000. Or like, you know, I tend to... What I tend to do is, while I'm driving, put on like a YouTube audio from a random tour. So, you know, so them doing like a live set for Later in 2000, I just wouldn't really watch. So yeah, so it's not one that I'm really that familiar with. But the main thing I felt was that the band were great. You know, it was great to see Gem and Andy in that first stage. Zeb Jameson on keyboards, great. You know, it was great to see him there. I interviewed him back in the day. And but the crowd was so dead. You know, it's sort of so crazy that, I mean, maybe they'd been told, you know, don't jump up and down or whatever. But just to see a load of people just stood there, you know, as Oasis are playing in 2000, it's mad. But yeah, so there you go. I don't quite know what that was all about. But yeah, it was a cool thing to have Oasis on. The only sort of new thing there was this sort of little half hour documentary called like Oasis Revivalry to something to Rivalry and Reunion or something. And it was a really sort of quickly shoved together kind of hodgepodge of, you know, they had Jack Saunders from Radio One, who I don't, you know, I've no interest in what he's got to say. John Robb obviously showed up. That was interesting because it was like John was talking about the fact that Noel's interview, you know, when we look back in history now, that interview with Noel, and if you listen back to my episode at the time, we definitely talked about it. Like, whoa, that was the most positive we've ever heard Noel talking about Liam in recent years. So that was really like the alarm bell sort of started going at that point. Yeah, and so John was on. Obviously, he's good. He's always good form. There's that guy Mike Sweeney from Radio in Manchester, who was just given that sort of typical view. And then little bits and pieces of people on the street. But obviously, that must have been filmed before the gigs were announced. So, because there was a lot of, like, you know, talking about the gigs, not, you know, talking about, oh, it would be great, you know, if they do this, not actually not talking about them. So I think it was filmed, like, when the gigs had been announced they were happening, but before the tickets had gone on sale. Because, you know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, if I get a ticket or that sort of thing. So it wasn't quite up to date. But yeah, it was fine for what it is. It sort of had a brief whistle-stop tour through the history, so it was sort of a handy one. But yeah, it was fine. You know, nice to see Oasis on the TV, as always. And then the only other thing I was going to say, I suppose, is that I jumped into the Oasis Discord. I didn't get chosen as a moderator, which I'm quite pleased about. But I jumped into the Oasis Discord the other day, and it was just insane. It was mental. I just said, no, forget it, I'm out. Went back in today. And it was a lot quieter, a lot calmer, you know, people actually having conversations and things. So it does seem okay. I think you do have to get an invite. I don't quite know how that works. But yeah, I'll pop in there occasionally. But to be honest, I think the main thing for me is the Oasis podcast Discord and then obviously Twitter and stuff. Oh, and then I am putting out quite a few little bits and pieces on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. So, you know, little bite size, you know, 1 minute, 2 minute clips from episodes, or like exclusive things that I'm recording for there. Like I've done a, definitely maybe, you know, should the A-sides have been the A-sides or should the B-sides have been the A-sides instead? And little things like that. So I'll do things like that. So do give us a follow on all the other, everything basically. Follow me on everything. All right, that'll do it. Let's just recap the freebies and the competitions and everything that's going on. If you're booking travel, use SeatFrog. You know, you can get £3 off if you use the code OASISFROG. I actually used it the other day, you know, looking at going first class. So if you book your normal tickets, you know, say it's going to be, I don't know, £10, but first class is going to be £40. Well, actually, you can get sometimes up to 60% off first class. And so then actually it might only be, you know, £30 to go first class, and you're going to get free food and drink first class, right? So no brainer to me. So yeah, definitely have a look at that. It's sort of an auction basically. So yeah, so when you're traveling, just have a look at that, see what you can do. And yeah, use Oasis Frog for £3 off. Tim Abbott situation. Yep, still a few of those going. So just email me, Oasis Podcast. No, email me oasispod@gmail.com if you'd like to get a special deal on the Tim Abbott upcoming tour. And also beer. Yeah, who could forget? So make sure you are following Wonderwall Beer UK on Instagram, Facebook, and then look out for the post from them and also from me on Instagram saying, asking for what are your best Oasis beer puns, and comment with your beer pun, make sure you're following, and then you could be in to win a case of lovely Wonderwall beer. All right, that'll do it. So what date is it today? Today's the 28th of June. It's Saturday. We're going to be, yeah, what are we now? 6 days away. Pretty crazy. I imagine we will be back in touch between now and the 4th. That seems unlikely that I won't be back in touch with you now on the 4th. But if for any reason I don't, then yeah, do make sure you're staying in touch at the top of the socials. I will be there in Cardiff all day on the 4th and all day on the 5th, because I'm staying on and I'm going to the 5th as well now. So yeah, if you want to be there, if you want to come and say hello, then yeah, it'd be lovely to see you. All right, that'll do it. Thank you very much for listening. Most thanks go to our patrons. You can become a patron. You put your money where your mouth is by paying me, you know, a piffling amount a month. It's £1 a month, $1 a month. You can do as much as you want. You do $100 a month if you want. I don't care. But yeah, anyway, if you want to be a patron, then that's absolutely fine. Whatever level, you get access to the Discord. We do occasional bonus episodes. The main thing really is that you are in the inner circle of Oasis Podcast people. So when I've got an idea, or I'm going to jump on a call, or if I want to run an idea past you, then you're like in the inner sanctum. So that's, if you want to be part of that, then that's what you got to do. You got to pay your money, and then you've got to, yeah, sign up to the Discord. Yeah, email oasispod@gmail.com. Follow me everywhere you can. And yeah, we'll see you very soon. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.